All right, we have a quorum, but we have a resolution. So we have folks here from the Parkinson's Awareness. Do you want to come up, somebody? Oh, yeah. Hi, Mr. Grant. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good. Please sit down. Before I read the proclamation, would you both like to say a few words?
We would.
The Awareness Month, Awareness Week. Is it month or week?
Weekend. Weekend.
Okay. Go ahead.
So I'm Jay Nutt, and I am speaking as a physician who cares for people with Parkinson's disease. So first, the bad news. Parkinson's disease is common, and we calculate that there are roughly 3,000 people in the Portland area with Parkinson's disease. And because Parkinson's disease impacts the whole family, then it's about 12,000 people that are living with Parkinson's disease every day. Parkinson's disease is not an old person's disease. 5 to 10% of the people with Parkinson's disease have the onset before the age of 50, and a third of the people with Parkinson's disease develop the disease before they retire. The third bad piece of news is that Parkinson's disease is not just tremor and slowness. Tremor affects many aspects of a person's life. And furthermore, the disease progresses with time. And for people like the person to my right, this means that the disease is going to progress over a period of maybe 40 years. But the good news, the person with Parkinson's disease can slow the progression of the disease with exercise. Drugs and surgery can reduce the impact of the symptoms of the disease. And research is following many leads, and we expect we'll soon be able to delay the progression and eventually stop the progression of Parkinson's disease. But more good news. Portland has three organizations working together to help people with Parkinson's disease. These organizations are the OHSU Parkinson's Center of Oregon, the Brian Grant Foundation, and the Parkinson's Resources of Oregon. The OHSU Parkinson's Center of Oregon has its annual fundraiser, Paws for a Cause, a dog walk, obviously, on July 14th, a Saturday. And the following day, the Brian Grant Foundation has their Shake It Till We Make It gala. And on Monday, there is a golf tournament associated with that. And this is the cause for declaring the weekend of July 14th and 15th the Parkinson's Awareness Weekend for Portland. The third organization, Parkinson's Resources of Oregon, has their annual fundraiser, the Soul Support, also a walk in the fall. So my request is that we recognize that weekend, as it is very important to the Parkinson's community, and we hope that there will be support for all three organizations for their events. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Grant, welcome.
Thank you. On behalf of the Brian Grant Foundation, all its workers, every Parkinson's patient in the Pacific Northwest and their caregivers, I'd like to thank you for this great honor of recognizing Parkinson's the weekend of, I believe, July 15th and 16th. It not only honors those of us who are suffering from the disease now and its caregivers, but it also honors those who have passed on. So with that, I would just like to thank you very much for that great honor.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you being here. Hi.
Yeah, hello. I'm Dan Baker, and I'm not a celebrity, and but I do have Parkinson's disease, and I've had the opportunity to be involved with both the Parkinson Center of Oregon and the Brian Grant Foundation as a volunteer. When we first thought of this idea, I sent Just Call Me Sam, Mayor Sam Adams, a letter, and it kind of segued perfectly because there was a bit of information in the newspaper about the two pugs that you had just adopted. Or
yes.
And so anyway, we did invite you to be one of our celebrities or grand marshals at the Pause for a Cause, but we do understand you have a conflict that day, and which is really okay, because this, I think, is probably more important. The fact that you're making a proclamation that the city of Portland and the state of Oregon should recognize Parkinson's Weekend in Portland and become aware of Parkinson's disease at a higher level. So I want to thank you. Those of you who would like some information about Pause for a Cause or the Brian Grant Shake It Till We Make It weekend, obviously we can provide you with that. So again, thank you very much, and appreciate your time.
I look forward to being involved next year when I'm going to have a lot more time. So I'm pleased to read the following proclamation. Whereas Parkinson's disease is a progressive neurodegenerative disease of the brain for which there is no cure. And whereas people with PD, Parkinson's disease, develop a variety of symptoms over time which progress to severe disability often, these symptoms vary widely between individuals with no two patients looking the same or requiring the same treatment approach. Whereas the symptoms of PD typically include impaired motor movement symptoms, multiple non-motor symptoms affecting many systems of the body, as well as depression and other psychological changes. And whereas Parkinson's disease currently affects over 1 million Americans, with over 60,000 new cases diagnosed every year, and whereas the combined and indirect cost of Parkinson's disease includes treatment, Social Security payments, and lost income from inability to work, and is estimated to be nearly $25 billion per year in the United States alone. And whereas the Parkinson Center of Oregon at OHSU is a national leader in the battle against PD, which strives to improve care, research new treatments and a cure, and educate the public and healthcare providers in Oregon and beyond about the challenges of Parkinson's. And whereas the Brian Grant Foundation, established in 2010, supports efforts to build awareness and education of Parkinson's disease in order to increase earlier diagnosis, educate people with PD and their families, and provide a viable forum for people affected with PD. And whereas the Parkinson Center of Oregon and the Brian Grant Foundation will concurrently conduct two major educational and fundraising events, Pause for a Cause and Shake It Till We Make It, on the weekend of July 14th through 16th, 2012, to further their work on behalf of people with PD everywhere. Now, therefore, I, Sam Adams, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim July 14th through 16th, 2012, to be Parkinson's Disease Awareness Weekend in Portland, and encourage all residents to observe this weekend. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I feel like I should stand on a chair.
Why don't we gather for a picture here?
All the work you do.
Thank you for all your Thank you very much. All right, City Council will come to order. Good morning, Sue.
Good morning.
How do you like the, we're being broadcast in high definition.
Right, it feels good to be home, doesn't it?
It does feel good to be home. And the camera operator, can you get a shot of Sue? Let's see what Sue looks like on HD.
That's okay.
Those cameras are supposed to be able to move. Well, I must say the council looks 10 years younger.
That's because we all got makeup this morning, Mayor.
Really? Is that what I have? Can you please call the roll?
Fish.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Leonard.
There's
here.
Sue. Sue, you look
Fritz.
Great in HD.
Oh.
Here. You look great. Quorum is present. We shall proceed. Can you please read the title for communications, item number 699?
Request of Tyrone Hines to address council regarding a near-fatal traffic collision.
Mr. Hines? Hi, welcome. Please have a seat.
Leave the sun?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
I was involved in an automobile accident on the 21st of August last year, 7:30 in the morning. I was driving up Greeley, just below the hill of Emmanuel Hospital. There was a bike activity going on that day, and there were bike riders on each side of the road. I drive that pretty often, and so if you're familiar with that stretch of the highway, there's hardly ever anyone parked on the side of the road. This day, it was 7:30 in the morning. There was a van parked on the side of the road, and I made a mental note of it, and as I drove along, at the last moment, this person pulled out and blocked the road in my lane to cross the two lanes of northbound traffic to enter the southbound lanes. I ran into him and totaled my car. I was taken to the hospital after being carried to the ambulance by the bike riders. They immediately told me that my spleen had burst. They took it out. My sternum was cracked. I had injuries to my shoulder, to my knees. I will have knee replacement surgery later on this year. My complaint is about the officer who responded to the accident, Officer Habkirk. He had my car towed to a lot. He did not write a ticket for this person's illegal turn. The bike riders wrote me reports of what they had witnessed, open cans of alcohol, and they saw him drinking, and there were open cans of alcohol. Well, the officer didn't respond to returning my call after I called him until I contacted the city of Portland and the police to get some explanation for him not writing a ticket. When he called me, he told me that he noticed that there were open alcohol containers in the car, but the person told him that they opened on collision. I ran right into his driver's side of the car. He said he had a six-pack in the back of the car. Now, common sense would let you know that a six-pack of beer is not going to open up individual cans from a collision in the front of the car. Neither did he write a police report, issue a ticket. He let the guy go. He just said, no harm, no foul, pretty much. I got in touch with the independent police review, and they referred my case to right back to the North Precinct as a incident, a learning incident. Let me see what they say here. A learning opportunity. Service improvement opportunity. My problem with that is that the officer did not perform his duties. If there is an injury accident and a person is shown to have alcohol in his vehicle, I was under the understanding that there is an investigation to find out exactly what is in that person's system. None of this was done. I asked the officer if he had followed procedures, and he said, yes, he followed procedures. That's the way he was trained. He told me that the ambulance drivers told him that my injuries were not trauma. I followed up that call. I called the ambulance company. They told me that they do not make that call, that call and the extent of my injuries would be determined by the hospital that I was taken to.
So, sir, I let you have some additional time. Understand your story. It sounds very frustrating. How could I help you?
Well, you know, I read the newspaper, and I hear comments from time to time about the police not getting cooperation from people in the black community. This is an example of the police not doing their job. I don't know exactly why he didn't do his job. I'm not saying it was just racism, even though the other driver was white and this officer was white. But he showed no concern for my well-being. Illegal turn, no ticket, crossing four lanes of traffic, no ticket, alcohol, no follow-up, no drug test.
Would you like me to look into the matter?
I would love for you to look into it. I mean, there's nothing in it for me. It's just that, you know, to follow.
I have anyone from my staff here? Is Chad here? Oh, so if you could talk to Chad, who's right here, who works for me.
Okay.
I'm happy to do a double check on it, and okay. I'm sorry you've been through all that.
Well, I thank you for the time. Again, it's not for me personally. There's nothing that I can gain from it. The person who caused the accident took responsibility for it, but still, I cannot make an illegal turn on the street without getting a ticket. And it's happened many times, a few times. I would just like to have the law enforced for me, especially in an extreme situation like this. You know,
I'll be happy to take another look at it, and I appreciate you bringing it to my attention.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Can you please read the title for item number 700?
Request of Charles B. Ormsby to address council regarding Bureau of Environmental Services projects that impact the area of Birds Hill CPO NA.
Hi, welcome. Welcome back.
Good morning. Let's see if I got this right. Good morning, Mayor and honored council. My name is Charles Ormsby. I live in Clackamas County at 170 Southwest Birds Hill Road, Portland, Oregon, 97219-8502. I'm here before you as chair of the Birds Hill CPO NA for 2012-2013. As you can tell from my address and whatnot, we sort of live in one of those folds in the region that where all boundary conditions come together. Our neighborhood is immediately adjacent to the Portland Bureau of Environmental Services Tryon Creek Wastewater Treatment Plant, which is at the which is on the southern bank of Tryon Creek at the at its confluence point with the Willamette River at River Mile 20.2. Problem I have is that three Portland Bureau of Environmental Services projects that will are linked to that plant will substantially affect us. First, there's a rejuvenation proactive of the Tryon Creek trunk line, which was put in nearly about 48 years ago, essentially along the fall line of Tryon Creek. Second is a what's being referred to as the Twilliger Boulevard Gravity Sewer line, which will somehow connect roughly tax lots up in near in Multnomah County with the Tryon Creek trunk line, roughly at Highway 43, which is on our southern tip at the intersection of Highway 43 and Twilliger. Those two projects will necessitate substantial closure of Twilliger Boulevard. And if you're not aware, that connects Lake Oswego with Lewis and Clark College and points north to Barber Boulevard. Severe traffic impacts will occur. Day trailers for semi-trucks will not be able to get anywhere south of Taylor's Ferry and Twilliger Boulevard in Portland, Oregon, unless they route themselves either down Highway 43 or somehow get Boone's Ferry and into Lake Oswego. The basic problem is that we haven't been notified of these projects, and most substantially is the Tryon Creek Wastewater Treatment Plant Facilities Upgrade Plan. We were not invited to have a representative voting on the committee, and we received no notice that this committee was being formed. I have stated in testimony I've delivered to you by email that this is not supportive of Oregon public meetings laws, and I desire that the situation be corrected as soon as possible. And I've suggested the correction to do so. Thank you.
thank you. Do you want to?
Well, thank you, Charles. I'll definitely look into the status of this committee and why you're not involved.
Thank you.
We'll get back to you.
Thanks a lot. Can you please read the title for item number 701?
Request of James Lopes to address council regarding sex trafficking in Portland.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. First of all, thank you, City Council, for allowing me this opportunity to come to you guys. Of course, you know my story, and I've been here before about this, and the last time I was here, you said you really couldn't do anything about it. So I'm just really here as informing you all what's happening with that. I'm doing the best that I can to point out these traps to people in the community and the problems that arise with what they teach these children to do, mostly at the fountains there. But I've come to the conclusion that they keep putting them in front of me also, and I don't know exactly how I'm going to do it, but I'm somehow going to get a police report from one of these, even if I have to follow their bait if I have to, which seems kind of weird because I think there's kind of a cover up with all this stuff going on anyway, because. There's always a little policeman around the little spot to ready to pounce on whoever they're trafficking during these little escapades or whatever you want to call it. So that's what I came to tell you. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it. We'll now consider the consent agenda. Any items on the consent agenda? Anyone wishes to poll? Sue, can you call the vote on the consent agenda?
Fish.
Aye.
Salzman. Leonard.
Aye.
Adam. Fish. Fritz. Excuse me.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Consent agenda is approved. That gets us to the regular agenda. Can you please read items 725 through 732?
Instead of the...
Oh, I'm sorry. We have a... I apologize. We have the time certains. Can you please read time certain 702 and 703?
702, adopt budget adjustment recommendations and the supplemental budget for the fiscal year 2011-12, over expenditure process and make budget adjustments in various funds. 703, authorize temporary operating loans between various funds to provide interim funding to cover lags in federal, state, and other grant reimbursements.
So, do I read this now?
After it's...
So I give a little intro?
All right, and then he reads it. All right, thank you. I had no idea we were on HD today, so this is...
Yeah.
I would have worn a different tie.
You wore the wrong tie.
Clearly.
There's also like a gauze over the lens to all make us look soft.
Yes, it's softer.
Really? Softer? All right, go ahead. Let's get a close-up of Andrew Scott, please.
The overexpenditure ordinance, as most of you know, this is at the end of the year what we use when city bureaus have either current or projected expenditures that might be in excess of approved appropriations, or if they want to make major object code changes in order just to line up appropriations for the end of the year. So what we have before you, there's not a whole lot in here, so I'll just quickly run through the general fund side of it. You have a exhibit number 3, which might be the easiest table to look at. You might be familiar with it from our bumps. It's called the general fund reconciliation table. Very, very quickly, there are just a handful of carryover requests. The bulk of those carryover requests are related to the Police Activities League. We're carrying over $35,000 from this year's budget to help fund the $35,000 appropriation next year for Police Activities League. The mayor's office, there's also $10,000 for the Youth Planners Program for next year. And then finally, $45,000 from the mayor's office just to help balance next year's budget. This was all included in the proposed and approved budget. So now we're just doing the actual carryover to show that. There's a very small technical mid-year reduction to the COPIA training fund. It was over budgeted this year, so we're making a $3,373 correction just to make sure that lines up with the COPIA contract. And finally, $6.6 million in general fund loans to grants, which I can is going to be the second resolution that we're going to discuss. And I'll just talk about that now. Essentially, we did this last year. One of the things when we went to SAP, we created a grants fund, which is best practice. But the problem with grants funds in general is that because grants billings are delayed, we do the work and have the expenses up front. We don't get reimbursement for a little while. When it's the federal government, sometimes it's a long while. And thus, that fund runs a negative balance throughout the course of the year. That's fine during the course of the year, but we can't end the fiscal year with a negative balance. And so as we did last year, what we're asking council to do is authorize $6.6 million of general fund loans to the grants fund to ensure that the grants fund has a positive balance. There are some other loans from other funds as well, transportation and
parking, and let's see, there's one loan to the Community Development Block Grant Fund.
So essentially, we're truing up all the balances that haven't been received go to the grants fund. It's a one-day loan. We make the loan on June 30th at the end of the year to make sure the books are right, and then we repay that loan on July 1st to get the money back to where it came from. But again, this is making sure that we're complying with Oregon state law in terms of cash balances. With that, if there are any other questions, happy to answer about some of the non-general fund changes or anything else in the over-expenditure ordinance or in the grants resolution.
All right, according to the Oregon State Budget Law, ORS 294.471, I open a hearing on the FY 2011-2012 Overexpenditure Ordinance Supplemental Budget. Is there any member of the public who wishes to testify? I hereby close the hearing on the Overexpenditure Supplemental Budget.
Actually, Mayor, and also just one, I should have noted this at the very beginning. We just realized there's a typo in the memo that was filed with this ordinance. Normally, that wouldn't be an issue, except we actually, under state budget law, now have to include the memo as an exhibit. And so I think we actually should probably get that typo corrected.
I move correction of said typo. What's the typo?
On page 1 of the memo, at the end of the second paragraph, it currently says, it's a long sentence. I'll read the very end. The ordinance contains budget adjustments impacting appropriations in 24 funds, resulting in a net increase of appropriation of $2.3 million. The net increase of appropriation is actually $15.7 million, so it's also a substantive typo.
It's been moved and seconded to correct that typo so that it reads, what again?
$15.7 million, and that ties to all the other backup documents.
Instead of
2.3.
Okay. Sue, can you please call the vote on the motion?
Yes, me.
We just saved a bunch of money.
Fish.
Aye.
Salzman.
Aye.
Leonard. Fritz.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. And do I have to open it up again? Under Oregon state budget law? No, we're good. Okay, Sue, can you please call the vote on item number 702?
Fish.
Aye.
Sossman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you for your diligence. Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Can you please call the vote on 703?
Fish.
Aye.
Salzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Approved. Can you please read the title for item number, emergency ordinance, item number 704? Thanks, gentlemen.
Authorized grant agreement with Portland Community Media to manage public educational and governmental access resources and provide community media and digital literacy services.
Commissioner Dan Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. I am pleased to bring this item for council consideration today. It's authorized a grant agreement with Portland Community Media. And I'm pleased to support this and pleased to say also that Portland Community Media has made tremendous strides in addressing and correcting past financial issues. Portland Community Media worked diligently with my office, the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission, and staff of the Office for Community Technology, as well as outside auditors to address a large number of issues that needed attention. We now have successfully completed audits for the last two fiscal years, as well as implementation by Portland Community Media of substantial improvements to financial accounting and management systems as recommended by an outside auditor. In bringing this forward, I am happy to note the contract renewal follows my direction by providing for substantial improvements in oversight and remedies for both the city and also for the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission. This contract establishes mechanisms to ensure past financial challenges are not to reoccur, and that both the city and the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission have adequate tools in terms of oversight, management, and audit authority. I appreciate the current Portland Community Media's board's cooperation in working with us to develop and accept these expanded oversight provisions, and I look forward to the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission and staff to ensure that the important services provided by Portland Community Media can continue on a transparent and fiscally responsible basis. And I'd also like to thank Cece Hewley Noel for her, the executive director of Portland Community Media, for all her work, hard work in addressing these financial issues and getting the house in order. So I'm pleased to introduce David Olson, who is the director of the Office for Community Technology, also the gentleman responsible for our new HD broadcast coverage under our Comcast franchise, I believe, or is it PCM? I'll let you explain. Oh, but then I also just want to also recognize Cece Hewley Noel, who is the executive director of Portland Community Media. So, David, we'll start with you.
Thank you, Mayor and Council members. I am David Olson, your very outgoing director of the Office for Community Technology. And I'm very happy to be here. And also, thanks again. This is a joint effort of our office through the Comcast Cable Franchise Funds and Portland Community Media and Facilities Division and Bureau of Technology Services to enable you to be brought to the community in high definition. And so we think it's very, very important that the council look like a lot of the other channels that people are watching, and so we are happy to do that. I would say, with respect to this contract, Portland Community Media has been our partner for over 30 years in helping bring transparency to government and putting media tools in the hands of the community, particularly disadvantaged members of the community. The title of this ordinance and the contract are quite different, as Commissioner Saltzman has mentioned, from many of those in previous years, because we're in another century now. We are meeting 21st century media challenges. Contract renewal is the outgrowth of major collateral proceedings and issues without which we could not have brought this to you. This includes the conclusion of the Comcast franchise renewal, begun under Commissioner Fritz, concluded under Commissioner Saltzman, which guarantees a stream of funding, particularly for capital projects, for another 10 years and is considered one of the most advanced and successful franchise renewals in the country. This includes the adoption by this council of the broadband strategic plan, to which Portland Community Media and its programs are now linked in this contract. And this includes, as Commissioner Saltzman mentioned, the transition of PCM through a very difficult and challenging period, which required extensive involvement by the council, by Commissioner Charge, by the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission, and a lot of work with PCM's board and staff to see us through quite a harrowing period. All these threads are woven into this renewal contract, which does indeed incorporate an unprecedented level of oversight, monitoring, provisions. It clearly articulates the ongoing role of the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission members with respect to PCM and their liaison. It the role of the city's two appointees to PCM's board, and the role of both program staff and the commissioner in charge very specifically articulates that. I don't want to or need to belabor these oversight provisions. I can assure you that with the MHCRC and Commissioner Saltzman's involvement, they are very well represented and could not have been developed as well as they have been without the full, complete, unqualified cooperation of PCM board and staff, who were as anxious as we were to fix the issues that were there and to move forward and face forward in this century. I want to thank everyone involved, the MHCRC, its chair, Sue Disciple, Commissioner Saltzman's office, PCM board, President Cole Haver, and Cece Hughley Noel, for working with us to make sure this happened. Cece is vocally impaired today. I don't want her to say it, so I can say it, with acute laryngitis. So I told Cece, well, that means you can't contradict anything I say, right? So, but I'm sure she will try to comment as best she can. And I want to just conclude by emphasizing the focus on the future that this contract represents and the way in which it really melds together the partnership of Portland Community Media with the City of Portland and this council. The recitals, the three opening recitals to the contract itself, describe that relationship differently and more adequately than has ever been done before, mentioning PCM's role in providing media, broadband training, and distribution platforms to underserved Portland communities, to minorities, disadvantaged people who have not been able to take advantage of the great digital revolution, but people who need and communities that must have that access. It weaves that in. It links it to the broadband plan and the Portland plan, PCM's role as a partner with us in the broadband plan and the Portland plan, addressing inequities in the community and working with us, the schools, employers, and everyone to put these very valuable tools, the city's investment, and the funds arising under the Comcast franchise to work in this community, to repay the community again and again. It's a face-forward contract with needed course corrections. I think you can be proud and satisfied that it really, really does face the future and bring the council and PCM together in a way that is unprecedented and is an excellent way to start the next 30 years after finishing the past 30 years. That's my presentation. I will turn it over to Cece as best she can.
Thank you. Cece Hughley Noel, Executive Director at Portland Community Media. As David said, this has been a very collaborative process with the commission staff. Our board of directors and our staff have been very deeply involved in negotiating the terms of this grant agreement, and we're particularly excited about the scope of services that are supported through our programs that this grant supports. It allows us to further the direction we've been going to serve the underserved, to reach into the immigrant and refugee community, communities of color, seniors, youth, the unhoused, people living in poverty. We've been moving deliberately in that direction to provide services and increase the kind of technological intelligence to use broadband tools for the last 2 years. And we're really pleased with the goals that are so tightly in alignment with City Council's priorities to provide equity for the community, all of the citizens and non-citizens of the City of Portland. We're especially happy to see specifically the directions to serve our youth, especially those that are on the margins in this grant agreement. We've been really building our youth media program, promoting media literacy, and helping young people really understand how to be producers of media, how to be safe as consumers of media. And we're very pleased that this grant specifically calls out the council's priorities to really help our young people become effective members of society and be competitive in a modern workplace. So we're really pleased with this agreement. We're in complete agreement in the kind of compliance issues that we are able to really be very clear about. It gives us a great deal of very specific direction that we've welcomed. We're very pleased with the provisions in the grant agreement, and we're especially appreciative of the partnership that we are able to continue with the City of Portland to provide these services to our community. And I would like to personally thank Commissioner Saltzman for his leadership and his support as we've moved to be an even better kind of civic citizen as an organization, so that we're able to continue to serve the community for hopefully another 30 years, but I will not be there for 30 years. For another 30 years, and I appreciate it so much. Thank you.
Discussion with council. All right, thank you. Does anyone wish to testify on this matter?
Dan Handelman.
Good morning, welcome back.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Dan Handelman, and this morning I'm representing Flying Focus Video Collective, a different organization than you're usually hearing me speak about. Flying Focus has been around for 21 years now, and working at Portland Community Media, producing a weekly program. And we welcome this this agreement between the city and PCM, and we're happy about the new franchise agreement with Comcast. It's lasting for a long time, and we pointed out when there was an MHCRC item on the agenda last fall that this is actually a revenue-generating part of your budget, that the people who subscribe to Comcast pay money for the public, educational, and government channels, and that goes to the general fund, and then the city decides how much of that money to give to MHCRC and Portland Community Media. So I'm glad that you're all very supportive of it and that people can watch your meetings on television because of Portland Community Media. Yes, there has been financial issues at PCM, and our organization has been sending members to the board meetings for 2 or 3 years now because of the financial situation there, and have been raising the concern that even though the money flows in and things are turning around, that there's a focus on making things accessible to everybody, producers are being charged $50 a year to produce something on the channels. And we see it as more like the library, where everybody should be able to use it. That's what it's there for. We should be able to produce a program regardless. And if they have the money to give, they should be able to. So we've been asking for a sliding scale of some kind to be instituted. The staff has said they've been looking at it, but it's been pretty much 3 years since that was instituted, and we still haven't seen any movement on this sliding scale. It continues to be a confusing relationship. I'm glad to hear there's a bond between the city and Portland Community Media, but it's an independent nonprofit, and the city provides the bulk majority of its funding. There's a strange relationship between the community and the board, where the people who are producing shows at PCM and kind of the backbone of their public channels aren't as involved and engaged in the decision-making, and we were informed that some changes in this contract are going to change the way that people interact with Portland Community Media, but we weren't involved in the discussion of what those changes were going to be. We're going to be told about them some in the coming weeks, I've heard. So we hope that you'll help encourage more democracy in Portland Community Media, involvement from producers, involvement in the community as they move forward. We're very glad that there's a clause here in that reminds the council not to interfere with the content of anything on the public channels, because that allows us our free speech.
Okay.
That'll be the next contract we'll tackle.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
All right. Can you please call the vote on item 704?
Fish.
Thank you for your service to our community, and get well soon. David, thank you for an excellent presentation, and Dan, thank you for your leadership in this important work. Aye.
Sossman.
Well, this is an important agreement. As we mentioned, it does not only does Portland Community Media provide very essential services to our community, as Cease and David described, but this new agreement does make sure that those services continue to be provided on a transparent and fiscally responsible basis. So I'm very pleased to support this. And also, there's a lot of bandying about the term 30 years. I also just want to take this opportunity publicly to thank David Olson for his nearly 30 years of service as director of the Office for Community Technology. We will be honoring David next Wednesday at 3:30 in the downstairs atrium. So I hope my colleagues can be there. Thank you all. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Well, thank you for being here. Actually, we've got new media here. Is this microphone, do I need to be closer to the mic now or no?
It's not very loud.
All microphones are different, as I've discovered. My mother, who came to my, when I moved in to my office, told me, dear, you need to move closer to the mic. So I was hoping that maybe it would be fixed. But there we are.
Crank it up.
Ooh, now. Forget. All right. Well, test. I'll start again. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for your work on this project and on Portland Community Media. Free speech isn't free unless people have an opportunity to express whatever they want over the airways, and I appreciate your acknowledgement of that, both within the Office for Community Technology and with Portland Community Media. We discovered a couple of years ago when there was some threat to the Portland Community Media budget just how much people care about this service. And it's in some ways very similar to the services that the city funds through the neighborhood coalitions, as was mentioned. Portland Community Media is an independent nonprofit, and so we have the opportunity to appoint a couple of members to the board, and I'm very appreciative of the board members that I was able to appoint while I was in charge of the office. And then it involves negotiation. I'm very pleased with this contract and appreciate Comcast's participation in the negotiations. And David, this is one of the things that you have done in an outstanding manner throughout your time on the council, and I think this is very fitting that this is perhaps the last thing that you'll be bringing to us on the council, this agreement with Portland Community Media, which I know is really dear to your heart. And you have been very diligent in making sure that all sides are respected and the taxpayers' money is looked after in an appropriate manner. So I appreciate the diversity that Portland Community Media is striving for and has succeeded, and the attention to equity in the services that you provide. Dan Handelman and others who participate help continue to push all of us in that direction. And so I appreciate a lot of the programming on Portland Community Media and the services that the staff provide and the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission. A lot of effort has gone into this item on the council agenda. Thank you for your service. Aye.
Adams.
Thanks to Commissioner Fritz, who had the Bureau before Commissioner Saltzman, and congratulations to Commissioner Saltzman for getting this agreement done. Thank you, David. Thank you, Noel, and everyone else on the team. Appreciate all your hard work. Aye. So approved. Can you please read the item? Presentation, item number 705.
2012 Parks and Recreation Community Integration Cup and Career Day.
Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. Alejandro and team, would you please come forward? And I'm very pleased to join with Commissioner Fritz this morning in a presentation about a wonderful community program that we are both involved with. You know, it's interesting, the for those people who love soccer, the attention this week and next week will be in Europe. As a European championship being fought, and we're going to learn whether Spain, Italy,
England,
Portugal, or Germany comes out on top.
Do they play soccer?
And we're seeing some of the greatest soccer in the world on ESPN and on television. So the soccer has captivated the world and conquered this country, and people are now watching soccer the way they watch basketball. Closer to home, though, people who love soccer know the real action is at Delta Park on July 6th and 7th. And that's when, for the third consecutive year, what we used to call the World Cup is being held, but it's also known as the Community Integration Cup. And this is a program that was designed to engage, connect, and integrate Portland's underserved and underrepresented communities. It's grown from 8 teams in its inaugural year to 20 teams this year and over 300 outstanding young people participating. And we're very pleased also this year that there will be 4 women's teams competing. And I should say it's about time, but ladies, welcome. I'm pleased to introduce our presenters, and we're going to start with Alejandro Vidalas, who is Portland Parks and Rec's Outreach and Community Engagement Coordinator, and really has been the inspiration for this wonderful community event. Alejandro, welcome.
If you don't mind, Commissioner, I'd like to introduce more broadly our effort and then hand it the ball to Alejandro, because he's been the heavy lifter and the ball kicker and the kid kicker for 3 years now. But good morning, Mayor Adams and City Commissioners. My name is Ronald Latang Sayang Katalani from the Office of Equity and Human Rights. Good morning, Commissioner Saltzman. And buenos dias.
I guess he called you out.
Salam alaikum, our sons and daughters. Please let me introduce you to the leaders of Portland democracy. These are the elected leaders who build our cities. Elected leaders, these are the children who come from our city's most ridiculously optimistic families. And these are the children from some of the parents who are in our audience today who are just unabashedly ambitious about being new Americans. Their elders honored Commissioner Saltzman last month in the consecration of the new Asian Family Center, which he founded, oh, back in the last century sometime. Honored Commissioner Fritz with the artwork of Professor Farouk Hassan, an homage of our reverence to our women, to our mothers, our grandmas and aunties. They honored, of course, our big volunteer driver from the Portland Water Bureau, Eric Anderson, with We Are Portland 2012 award this year. Mr. Anderson drives that lovely Water Bureau bus that delivers these young people and their parents to police precincts, and then, of course, to Delta Park, as Commissioner Fish had described. They honor, of course, your wife, Commissioner Fish, those Cambodian ladies, by taking her in their kitchens where they labor and they laugh the evening away. And then you get to be the beneficiary of the recipes she brings home from traditional Cambodian cooking. And then, of course, Mayor Adams honored the family of Sumitra Chetri, one of the youth planners of the city of Portland, and whose older brother, Som, is one of the coaches for this now called Cultural Integration Cup. So I think on the whole, we are getting to a balance of trade between the extraordinary cultural and social and spiritual capital these children and their families bring to our lovely city, and then your commitment to them in the political, the financial, the material capital to make sure they grow up to be a strong next generation of leadership. I think Mayor Adams often says the 1980 comprehensive plan didn't anticipate what Portland would be today. And today's comprehensive plan needs to do a better job of anticipating where we'll be 25 years down the road. And here you have them. So let me introduce then Alejandro, who's been the heavy lifter throughout, and describe what it is he's gotten these kids to do on a day they're not even at school, a day before summer school begins, and here they are in front of you.
Thank you. Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Alejandro Vidalis, and I'm the Outreach Coordinator for Parks and Rec. Thank you for the opportunity to present in front of you guys today. I grew up here in Portland. I graduated from Jefferson High School, and I've always felt like I'm a product of the city. Growing up here, there were two things that made significant impact in the direction of my life. One was adults in the community providing support, mentoring, and belief in me, and two, the opportunity that were provided to me. Those are two of the core elements on which this tournament was built. Like Commissioner mentioned, we have 20 teams and 300 youth from all over the city that come from many different backgrounds. We've We've partnered and engaged with many of the community agencies such as AYCO, Latino Network, Amistad Soccer, NEA, Catholic Charities, David Douglas, just to mention a few. And also brought in some of our bureaus like Portland Fire and Rescue, Portland Police, Office of Equity, and of course, Parks and Recreation. We were able to do all of this through recreation. This tournament has allowed us the opportunity to continue to learn about the various underserved and underrepresented communities and how we can better serve them. As a part of the registration for this tournament, all of the youth and community partners that participate fill out a survey that allows us to gauge and see how we can continue to improve our services. This year, we were excited to add a career day where we let all 20 teams access and participate in the different bureaus and learn about what it would be like to be a firefighter. They'll be going out next Friday to Marine Drive and seeing, checking out the facilities and learning what it would be like to become one with the Portland Police and through the various employment and career opportunities at Portland Parks and Office of Equity. More than half of the youth in this tournament are first-time participants in our programs and just in the city, in any city event. I want to thank all the partnering community agencies, and especially the youth. The youth have been the ones who have made this tournament grow, who have brought so much of their energy, their desire, their passion, just their commitment to organize the kids in their neighborhoods, partnering up with the different agencies and really taking the lead. Kids like we have today, Rosie, Marwan, Ibrahim, and some of the other captains that are here with us today. I want to thank our senior management, our community relations team, director, and definitely Commissioner Fish for not only providing the support, but for the resources that we have. All the youth will be getting jerseys for the tournament, and we'll be continuing after the tournament, be able to have access to our community centers, the closest one in their neighborhood or whichever community they would like to be a part in, again, to continue to build on the relationship that we've established with them. So at this time, I'd like to have you get to know some of the kids who have made this tournament such a success and such a pleasure to keep on working on. First, from Station 7 Captain Marwan Ahmed.
Hi, my name is Marwan Ahmed. I'm from Iraq. I'm the captain of Station 7, Portland Fireman. And I have like three sisters and three brothers and mom and dad. Like, we have 8 people. Yeah. Now I work with Portland. Like, they find me job. When, like, I don't have a job, I ask Alex for the job, and he find me a job. Thank you.
Thank you. What position do you play?
Defense.
Perfect.
Yeah. Their team made it to the semifinals last year, and I think they're looking to finish it off this year. Next, we have one of the captains for our women's team, Rosie Morales from PFR Prodigy. I'd like to see her.
Hello, my name is Rosie Morales Rodriguez. I'm a senior at David Douglas High School. We are 6 people in the family. I have 1 sister and 2 brothers. My dad is from Mexico and I'm from Guatemala. And my dad knows how to play soccer and he's teaching me to become a better soccer player. This is my first time joining the Community Integration Cup. And joining soccer will help me to apply for scholarships. My plan for my future after finish high school is to keep studying and become a professional hairstylist. I thank my 2 coaches that are the firefighters to take their time for taking their time to for our Pacific Prodigy team and for supporting all of us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
And our captain from AYCO, Ibrahim Kasim.
Hi, my name is Ibrahim Kasim. I'm from Kenya, but I'm actually Somalian. I'm a junior at David Douglas High School. My family, I have 1 mom and 1 brother and 4 sisters in my family. People in my family are like very important to me, especially my mom. And she's my role model. AYCO is also important in my life because it helps me be involved in the community. There's a lot of things for me to do when I'm involved in AYCO, especially playing sports and help tutor immigrant kids who are from different countries or new to the country and more. Thank you.
Thank you.
That concludes our presentation. Again, thank you guys for taking time and having us here, and we're looking forward to having you guys on July 6th and 7th.
Let me, if I may, Mayor, recognize Commissioner Fritz for a few words.